The following message is given by Brother Timothy Hong in the church in New York City on the last day, August 6, 2017. The title of the message is The Need for All Our Service to be Initiated by God. The scriptures verses are Numbers chapter 18, verse 1, Romans 11, verse 36.
How much we need you. Amen. Thank you. We can come. We can gather into your name. Amen. We can come to read your word. Amen. Thank you. Your words are spirit and life to us. Amen. They are bread of life to us. Amen. We live by every word proceeding out of your mouth. Amen. Lord, we love you. Amen. We give ourselves to you. Amen. We give this time to you. Amen. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Since this morning, we are reviewing what we covered last week. The brother already mentioned that we were covering the third message, which was given during the Memorial Day weekend conference in New York. And I think in the conference, we all very much impressed that the word is so timely. Of course, the burden was for the whole recovery because it was an international conference. But it just very timely to meet the church in New York need. The subject of the whole conference was knowing life and the church. Knowing life and the church. So what we covered last week was concerning the need for all service, for all the service to be initiated by God. So it's concerning service. The subject of the conference was concerning life and the church. Of course, service is what we have in the church. And when the church is now here, is moving forward, we have new meeting halls. We just bought one, just closed one meeting hall. We got it in Bronx. And we have one in Flushing and still finishing up the last part of the work. So with the new meeting halls and with the new districts, there are a lot of need of the practical service. So this word concerning the service, the need for all the service to be initiated by God is very timely. It's very timely for all of us, in fact. So I really thank the Lord that it's so the Lord just sovereignly arranged that such a word is here for all of us to hear. In fact, the brothers, prepared the Memorial Day weekend conference outline. They were also surprised because their burden was for the whole recovery. And yet, what they have chosen as a subject for the conference, knowing Christ and the church, was the messages given by Brother Lee in 1953, in the 50s. And Brother Lee was here the end of 1950 and the beginning of 1960. And he shared exactly the same burden. So the brothers in the conference were surprised that such a match between the Lord's burden in the very beginning of the church life in New York City and his burden for the church here now. So we just worship the Lord that such a word has been released. And today, of course, we are going over the conference messages, message by message. And this morning, we are covering the third message. That is concerning the need for all our service to be initiated by God. We read the two verses. One is in Numbers 18:1, and the other one is in Romans 11:16. In Numbers 18:1, it mentions something concerning the iniquity of the sanctuary and the iniquity of your priesthood. So the word is not an easy word because it's a warning. You know, it's a warning. We all are familiar, during the Lord's table, we also pray very much that the Lord on the cross, he bore our sins. You know, those are sins for, you know, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So those are common sins. But there is another kind of sin in another category that is called the iniquity of the sanctuary, the iniquity of the priesthood. So these are not the common sins, but rather it's related to the service, even the service in God's house. So that's for us. You know, because God, you know, we all have been made priests and kings to God. And we all can be the priesthood, can be the priest speaking for God. So we are part of the priesthood. And even this morning, our coming together is in fact is to be God's house, and our service, our gathering, in fact, is our service. For the children of Israel, for them to come together three times a year is for them to worship God, is for them to serve God. So this word is for us. Amen. It's for me, and it's for you. I feel this word is very timely, that we need to have such a realization that we are in God's house, and we are also the serving ones. We usually mention that for us Christians, we have two status. We are God's children, God's sons in his house, and we are also God's servants, his slaves in his house. So this word concerning Numbers 18:1 was concerning our service. So today, this word is for our inoculation. This word is for very timely for us to realize there is such a matter. You know, when I just got saved, I don't have any concept concerning service. I thought, you know, I'm just coming to meet with everyone, just enjoy the Lord. But eventually, I start learning to serve a little bit in the children's meeting or help arranging the chairs, a little service. But I have no concept of this word. But now, today, this word is very timely because, you know, we still, from time to time, in fact, every month, we have gospel meeting, and now many new ones get saved, you know. We all need to know this word, and this word should be very common among us, for all of us to aware there is such a matter that in God's house, in our service, there is the iniquity of the sanctuary, and there's the iniquity of the priesthood. How to avoid this, the iniquity of the priesthood and the iniquity of the sanctuary, is the title or the subject of this message concerning the need for all our service to be initiated by God. In fact, we covered last week, in day one, aside from the morning watch verses, we also have, every week we have morning watch verses, and also we have an expanded version. There are some excerpts that we can read along with the verses to help us to enter into the riches of the ministry. That is for us today. In the day one, I just want to read a part of the portion concerning today's reading. It mentioned, the subject of the title was concerning all services to be initiated by God. In fact, this is a principle for our service. But concerning our service, in fact, there are 3 points. And this is one point, the initiation of the service. And there are two other points, so I just want to mention it so we can have the whole picture. Let me read this short paragraph. There are three very important considerations in God's work, in God's service, which we should never forget. First, the initiation of God's work must be according to His will. In other words, it should be initiated according to His will. You know, in one of the hymns we sang, the Lord Jesus was doing God's will. And also mentioned the Lord, He was, as a son, He was obedient to the Father's will. So the first point is the initiation of God's work must be according to His will. The second, the advance of God's work must be according to His power and not our own power. So for there is the initiation, there is the advance. For the advance, we need the strength, we need the supply, we need the power. The power should be God's power. Then the third, the result of God's work must be for His glory. Well, you know, we have service team. The saints were doing the Lord's Table service. And we're all learning. You know, there are quite a few new ones doing the service. Maybe some of you don't, you know, you don't recognize the brothers who were serving during the Lord's Table. They are new. If they are learning, maybe they later on they can do a very good service, and they may feel good. You know, I did a good service. You know, the brothers came out to pray, right? Oh, I released my spirit. I really praised the Lord. They will feel good. They will feel good. That means they got the glory. All the glory, the result of the work, should be to God's glory, not for our feeling good. So we need to see. There's the initiation, advancement, and there's the result. Initiation should be initiated by God. To carry out, the power should be God's power. The result should be for God's glory. So this is the principle. I feel it's very good. You know, if we make some mistake, we should not. You know, we're doing God's work. You know, we are learning. You know, so we should admit, we should learn. You know, so. I feel this is very timely for us today. This message, Brother Ed and I, we will share together. So I share the first part, and he will share the second part. This morning, you know, during the morning watch last week, there are a lot of very good, rich portions mentioned about different ones throughout the Bible they were serving, you know. Of course, the first serving one mentioned was Abel and Cain. Then after then there was Noah, and after Noah there was Abraham. Then after Abraham there was Moses. Then there was David. So to cover all of them is too much to cover this morning. So I will just cover a little bit and to begin. The numbers mentioned about the iniquity. Then the Romans right away mentioned that out from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. So this verse tells us, you know, in fact, the service should be out from the Lord, and it should be through him, and it should be glory to him. So it's very clear that in God's word. I will just cover this morning two cases mentioned in last week's morning watch verses. One was concerning Abel and Cain. Of course, I think most of the saints know, unless a newly saved one, that Abel and Cain, they were the second generation. God created Adam, and Eve was brought to Adam as his helpmate. Then they had two they're giving birth to Cain, the older one, then Abel, the younger one. Of course, Adam took the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and man failed. And but God came in. When Adam was hiding from God because he did what God told him not to do, and Adam and Eve made leaves to cover themselves because they realized they were naked. But God came to look for them. Where are you? In fact, God knows where they are, but they were hiding. Eventually, God made coats of skin for them to cover them. And then there was the two sons. The two sons eventually, in fact, the older son, Cain, brought the fruit of the field to offer to God. And the second son also brought from the firstlings of the flock and offered to God. Maybe you can read the verses. Let's read Genesis first, 3:21. And Jehovah God made for Adam and for his wife coats of skin and clothed them. Okay, chapter 4, verse 1. And the man knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, gave birth to Cain, and said, I have acquired a man, Jehovah. And again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a tender of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the course of time, Cain brought an offering to Jehovah from the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought an offering from the firstlings of his flock, that is from their fat portions. And Jehovah had regard for Abel and for his offerings. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. And Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. So, that's good. So these verses mention how Abel and Cain, in fact, Cain first brought something as an offering to God, then Abel also. But God had regard for Abel's offering, not for Cain's offering. And Cain became very angry. In Hebrews, there was a concluding word concerning Abel's offering. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Let's read that. By faith, Abel God testifying to his gifts. And through faith, though he has died, he still speaks. He died because Cain was very angry, and eventually Cain even killed his brother, Abel. But in Hebrews, in the New Testament, God testified concerning Abel's offering, saying that what Abel offered was by faith. That's why we have Romans, the verse in Romans 11:36. Let's read it. It's 10:17. Yeah, let's read together. So faith comes out of hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So by faith Abel offered. But where the faith came from? Romans said faith came from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. So where Abel got the concept to offer the firstlings of the flock? It must be from his parents. So his parents must have told both of them concerning God made coats of skin out of animals. So the parents must have seen that skin was taken from the flock. And there was a shedding of the blood. So In fact, in that case, it shows God already established that in the New Testament, he mentioned that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So Adam's sins he committed was forgiven because there was a shedding of the blood. So the picture of redemption must have been conveyed from Adam and Eve to his both sons. That's why the Bible testifies that Abel, by faith, offered to God. And that offering was acceptable. And what Cain offered was no blood. It was from the fruit of the ground. That's why it was rejected by God. So in this very beginning, the principle concerning service, they both wanted to serve. In fact, Cain was first, and Abel was maybe following his brother, offer something. But the service should be initiated by God, and Cain invented his own service that he thought, you know, of course, Cain knows God. He knows God, and he wanted to serve God, but his service was initiated by himself. That's why it was rejected. So we all need to be need to learn this, that all the service in the church should be initiated by God, not according to our opinion, not according to our doing. This is very clear in the first case. Okay, let's go to the next case. Next case is David. Maybe we can read Acts 13:36 together. Now, David, having served his own generation by the counsel of God, did indeed fall asleep and was buried with his father and saw corruption. It's very crucial. David served. We know David served his generation. He did many things during his time. You know, the kingdom through him was established. And but he served by the counsel of God. This is very striking. So his service was not because, you know, he's a king. He can do a lot of things. He can do whatever he wants. But he served. He served in God's house. He served the people, God's people, in his generation by the counsel of God. And there's an example. Maybe we can read the following 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1, and a few other verses. Okay, let's read together. And as the king dwelt in his house, and Jehovah gave him rest all around from all his enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within curtains." And Nathan said to the king, "All that is in your heart, go and do, for Jehovah is with you. Go and say to my servant David, thus says Jehovah, is it you who will build me a house for me to dwell in? Even since the time when I commanded that there be judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, Jehovah declares to you that Jehovah will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you sleep with your fathers, I will raise up your seed after you, which will come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. It is he who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be his father, and he will be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will strike him with the rod of man and with the stripes of the son of man." So this case is very important because in David's case, he was a king, and he loves God, and he's concerned for God's dwelling place. He lives in the house of cedar, but God's house, God's dwelling place, is within the curtains. So he wants to do something for God. Nathan was his was a prophet at that time, Nathan thought, oh, yeah, such a good king, you know. With such a good heart, do it. But God didn't think so. God didn't think so. So God told Nathan to go and tell David, right? Let's go back to that verse. God asked Nathan to ask a question. What's that question? And Nathan said to the, okay, 7:5. Let's read together. Go and say to my servant David, thus say Jehovah, is it you who will build me a house for me to dwell in? What's your understanding concerning this question? Is it a good question or is it a question has something more to say? In the beginning, I could not understand too well this verse, you know. But eventually, I realized, you know, you can say this verse in a different way. Is it you? Right, this is one way. Then if you hear, is it you? You know, your ear may ring and oh, wow. I think God did mean that. In fact, God means don't do it. That's what God means. Of course, David agreed. Eventually, he didn't do it because God said his son would do it. So David didn't do it. So in this, David's desire and his speaking and the Lord's answering, there are two principles concerning what happened. David that stopped his doing. You know, David, he has all the material, he has all the people, he has all the strength, he has everything he wants. He can do it, build it in any place with any kind of material he wants. No. God didn't allow him to do that. But in fact, after David said this word, he mentioned that later on, he has two failures. One failure was he murdered one of his general and took his wife as his wife. This is the first thing. And of course, got judged. And the child died. But afterwards, after David repented, God gave another son to Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, Solomon. So Solomon built the temple for God. And also, there was another failure, was that David numbered his people. And there was a pride, because God gave him peace. And he thought, you know, I have all the armies. So he had put his trust in his army, and eventually he realized he did the wrong thing, you know. So he also repented, and in fact, God told him to offer a sacrifice. And the place he offered eventually was the site of the temple. So we see that God doesn't want him to build it. God has his own plan, and God has his own arrangements where and who will build the temple. And everything, God has his plan, has his design. It's the same with Noah. Noah's ark was not Noah's imagination. It was God's decision, God's measurement concerning the ark. How long, how wide, how high. So we see that God has his own arrangement, his initiation. So it should not be our initiation. During going over this, I was very, I found, you know, before 2 Samuel 7, why David was able to, you know, turn right away. In fact, David made a mistake in the 2 Samuel chapter 6. And at that time, David, there was a little history. In 1 Samuel 6, the children of Israel, during the priest Eli and time, there was a war between the Philistines and the Israelites. And the Israelites, you know, they were weaker. Eventually, they brought out the ark. And with Eli's two sons, And they thought they're going to win the victory, but eventually they got defeated. And the ark was captured and to the Philistines' land. And eventually the Philistines could not stand. In fact, the ark cannot protect itself. There were terrible things happening in the land of the Philistine. And the Philistine eventually sent the ark back to Israel. And what they did was they used a new cart with the oxen. They pulled the ark. Long story, but you know, it's very interesting. They came back. And what happened was Eli's two sons, one in the front, one in the back, and they were following to bring the ark back. But the oxen stumbled, and the ark was falling. And Uzzah, Eli's son, went to touch to avoid this to happen. And he touched and he died. And what happened was, right after this, David was angry. No, he's doing the good thing to bring the ark to the city of David. But God didn't say, oh, that's a good thing. Rather, because they didn't handle the ark properly, you see, in God's service. And the priest died. And David was angry too. David said, hey, don't come to my city. So the ark remained in one of the other priest's home, in the house of Abinadab, in his home. It was Abimelech. The ark was in Abimelech, his home, and they bring the ark to the city of David. But because of this happening of death, and David said, "Don't bring it." And this ark eventually will stay in another person, Obed-Edom, home, and God bless him. And eventually, David bring it back again. In fact, the key word I was impressed was David was angry also. And we know Cain was very angry when his offering was rejected. And David was angry too, because he tried to do something good. But in chapter 7, David's attitude changed. When God said, don't do it, he didn't do it. So David learned a lesson. My point is, David learned a lesson. You know, today in the church life, we have many services. And sometimes when you do something, maybe another brother says, don't do it. And you say, no, okay, I will never do it again. You do it yourself. That's not a good attitude. We should learn the lesson together, you know. If the Lord, through the brother or sister, tell me, don't do it. Okay, amen. So this way, our service will be acceptable to God. This way, we will learn the lesson together. This way, when we read this sin of sanctuary or the sin of the priesthood, we may be all afraid. Okay, I don't want to serve because there's such a big thing. In fact, we all should learn and we all should serve because we are priests to serve the living God. You know, in 1 Thessalonians, it mentioned all the Paul was there for three Sabbath days, and eventually the Thessalonians, you know, they were very good because Paul in writing 1 Thessalonians, it mentioned that they have the faith, and they have love, and they have hope, and it mentioned that turn from idols to serve the living God. So today we all need to be the Thessalonians and serving the Lord. And we should learn to serve in the way by faith according to his initiation, through his power and for his glory. I just feel that today we are privileged to hear this word. May we all take this healthy word for our service and for our going on with all the saints and serve the Lord together. Amen. Sorry, brother, I took a little more time.
Amen. Maybe we can go back to 2 Samuel 7:5. 2 Samuel 7:5. Let's read that verse again. Go and say to my servant David, thus says Jehovah, is it you who will build me a house for me to dwell in? In the past, I was bothered by this. David loved the Lord. He loved the temple, the tabernacle, and he wanted to build a temple. What's wrong with that? Now, under the light of this message, actually God is saying, who do you think you are? You're telling me, God, what should be done? But I am very concerned, especially for the young ones. They may say, oh, I have no idea what the sin of the sanctuary is, and never mind, I'm not going to do anything. Well, that's worse, because that's Laodicea, right? Be passive. And God told the Laodiceans to buy the gold because they were poor, and the eye salve so they could see. So, what should be done? Brother Lee once said something that really shocked me. He said, we all need to learn. Don't be afraid of mistakes. The dead people in the cemetery make no mistakes. So forget about being passive. But we want to see a little bit how the Lord is concerning the matter of service. And that we find in Moses. But maybe we won't cover everything. I'll just say quickly that Moses, when he grew up, he was the son of Pharaoh. There's no comparison today with the son of Pharaoh. The son of Pharaoh could do whatever he wanted. And Egypt was the biggest country then. But the point was, he wanted to go out to see his people, the Israelites, and when he did that, he saw an Egyptian hitting an Israeli, so he killed the Egyptian. And the next day he went out, and two Israelis were fighting, and he told them that not to fight, and then one of them says, who made you a judge between us? And are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? Then when Moses knew that that was known, he ran away. And sure enough, Pharaoh tried to kill him, but he was gone. But where did he go? He went to Midian, to the countryside. And eventually, he married the local person there, and he took care of the sheep of his father-in-law. For 1 year, 2 years, 40 years, So after 40 years, the Lord came to him. So this is what we want to see. It was sovereign of the Lord that Moses went there. Moses was very capable. He had all the learning, the best learning in those days. He had everything going for him. But after 40 years shepherding the sheep, he couldn't do anything. And we're going to see how the Lord took care of that. In let's have Exodus 3:6. Let's read that together. And he said, I am the God of your father, God of Abraham, the God of Israel, and the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. That's how God presented himself. So the purpose that God appeared to Moses after 40 years is that he wanted to deliver his people from Egypt. So then let's read verse 10. We don't have it? Okay, I'll read it. So come now, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So actually, God called Moses to deliver the people of Israel. But Moses, what did he say? In verse 11, Moses felt, I'm not going to read these verses to make it faster. In verse 11, Moses felt that he could not rescue the people of Israel from Egypt. Moses, the prince of Egypt, had become a shepherd. And then God told Moses he would be with him in verse 12. Told Moses his name, I am, in verse 14. Told him that the leaders of Israel would listen to him in verse 18. Moses still thought they would not believe him. Chapter 4, verse 1. God told Moses how to do 3 miracles. Then the leaders would surely believe him. Verses 2 to 9. Still Moses said that he was slow of speech. And he had a slow tongue. Can you imagine a prince being that way? God said that he would be with Moses' mouth. Here we're seeing how patient God was. Moses asked God to send someone else, verse 13. So God said that by then God got upset. And God said that Aaron would speak what Moses would tell him to speak in verse 14. Actually, eventually, Moses did learn how to serve. Everything he did was according to God's leading. And he trusted in God. Hebrews 11, 28 and 29. Moses did nothing according to his will. Now, after the sin of the golden calf, where the people of Israel made an idol, then God said that he would have an angel lead the people of Israel to the good land. In chapter 32, verse 34. Let's read that. Exodus 32, verse 34. And
Unless they, when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them.
Then chapter 33, verse 2. Here we find something very, very precious indeed. Moses was not satisfied that an angel would lead them. Let's turn to Exodus 33, verses 14 to 16. This is very precious. Moses appreciated God's presence. In anything we do, we need God's presence. So we need to appreciate God's presence. God's presence, not just when we have morning watch, but whenever we do anything, God's presence should be with us. I'm concerned that the young people will feel, oh, I don't know, maybe I can't serve anymore. The thing is, most service in the church, you're told to serve, right? When I was asked to become an elder, I was told to become an elder. And I even argued, but it was of the Lord, and that was it. End of story. So that's not a problem. If they ask you to serve in the church, you are not committing the sin of the sanctuary. But you know, God doesn't want us to be on our own. We have our own opinions and concepts, and especially our own will, very strong always. So what about? We have been praying. The church has been praying lately on Tuesday night. We need to visit those who are not meeting. And you know one of those who are not meeting? Okay, I'm going to visit. Wait a minute. That's the time we need the Lord. So Lord, how do we experience the Lord? Two things, prayer and fellowship. So let's turn to 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort therefore, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and giving made on behalf of all men. Actually, we're just going to use the first half of the verse. First of all, petitions, prayers with thanksgiving. So this should be our habit. You know, it's so marvelous that God is right inside of us. The life-giving spirit that has everything that the Lord Jesus did from his living on earth all the way up to his ascension. He's in us. But do we realize? Are we conscious? that another person lives in me? Probably you don't feel that way. We need to be conscious of that. And that person that lives in us is our loving Savior, who takes care of us, who's concerned for us, who, when the roof caves in, he'll say, "What are you worried about? You're in my hand." This is our God. So, first of all, prayer. I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't go and visit those who don't meet. But first of all, prayer. We need to have the prayer, and then we will get clear. The trouble is that we are too high. We think we're too great. But Saul of Tarsus, when he saw the Lord, let's read again Acts 22:10. Acts 22:10. Sorry, you had to look for it. I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said to me, "Rise up and go to Damascus, and there I will show you concerning all the things I have appointed you to do." And I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" We need to be like that. We need to be like little children. We need to be humble. Then the Lord will lead us. And what happens when the Lord leads us? What happens is, if there's a problem with the service that the Lord committed to you, He has to take care. It's not your problem. It's not like if we try to do something and there's an obstacle, we don't get upset. We get mad. But if it's the Lord, He's responsible. No problem. We have peace. We have, not only we have peace, we have joy in Him because we're serving Him according to His will, according to what He has said. It's like you work in an office and your boss is responsible for something and it goes wrong. Well, he has to take care of it, right? It's the same thing. So we need to be like Saul of Tarsus. What shall I do, Lord? A prerequisite for proper church life and a proper service is prayer. We need to be a praying church. If a church is a praying church, that's the right kind of church. If a church does not pray, the church is committing the sin of prayerlessness. We should not be prayerless. Actually, you know, it's hard for me to understand myself. We love the Lord. I think we all love the Lord, don't we? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Right. And yet, coming to the Lord for Him to lead us, in other words, coming to the Lord. Well, yeah, we love Him, but I know what to do. We need to forget about that, our concepts, our opinions, all our natural life we need to forget. And then we will really be led by the Lord. Instead of talking so much, and instead of doing so much, we need to pray more. You know, we love the Lord. If we love the Lord, we should be in constant fellowship with Him. Lord, what do you want to do? Lord, do you like this? Or what about this? This should be our life. Not an automatic pilot. And then we crash.
We shouldn't be that way. To fulfill the Lord's need, we need to look to Him.
And we don't do anything presumptuously. We need to practice this. Only after we have prayed for a matter thoroughly, we should make a decision. And then there is no problem. May we all learn the lesson that we have to be able to have a good church life, a good service for God. We need to pray. This is crucial. Is our talking is turned to praying, the church life will be transformed. And then let's come to the last verse, Philippians 4:6. Nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now here, it doesn't say in first place, but in everything, by prayer and petition, please notice, with thanksgiving. Whenever we pray, we should thank the Lord. The Lord is taking care of us. He's taking care of our every situation. We should thank Him. We shouldn't just make the petition. It has to be petitions with thanksgiving. How important is that? But I'd like to look at the, it says, the end of the verse, let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests be made known. Rendered God or in the presence of pros, often translated with it in which implies make your petition and goodbye, God. No. How about this, Lord? I want to serve in this area. Do you think it's okay if you're not asked? In our prayer to God, there must be the essence of worship and fellowship and also petition for particular needs. And of course, it goes without saying that in service, we also need to have fellowship with the other serving ones in your group. I mean, that goes without saying. All right, so now we will sing hymn 910, and then after we'll go to the language meetings as we're singing. Oh. Oh. Yeah.